Yeah.
It's a cute little story.
Yeah.
Sure. That's absolutely. This, you know, the whole thing.
All right. We're going to get started here. I tried to hand out paper. If you didn't get one of these, I never know how many copies to make. So if you didn't get one, I'll come hand it to you right now. If I see a hand.
Okay. Man. So you I said you
don't have know. Everybody else got one? All right. We're good?
No.
Okay. And I know I handed out a bunch of this Baptist way. I know the church had it, but if there's anybody that didn't get a Baptist way, I still have a couple. Any hands, okay? And then I know everybody has Trail of Blood, but I went and ordered some of these. They cost a whopping $3. This is the one that I'm going to be reading out of. We're going to do a lot of referencing in these Trail of Bloods. If you don't have, I think it's better print. I think the chart in the back is much better. If you don't have one, I actually bought it for you. So if you want one, you got to put your hand up.
I see any.
Big one. All right.
Yeah, it's yours.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes. I'm tired of, not tired of taking all the different page references and stuff.
Do you think about that one? Here, remember the cherry one? I don't think so. I don't know. The hell thing. I think it's better to be on for you.
Yep.
We'll both have an eye on the chili.
Okay. That was it. Remember my hand? That's your hand? Stop. Yes. It's
all right, let's have a word of prayer. Brother Doug, would you mind leading us, please?
Father, we come to you in this evening thanking you for your love and mercy, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, especially, which did for us as far as redemption and having the benefits and the blessing upon the fellowship with you and the promise of eternity also. Pray now as we look into history and our other lessons tonight, you help us to appreciate and come to value the sacrifices and experiences those that have gone before us have made also, that we pay attention to those things and realize just how much it costs and how much of an investment, even personally, that people put into it. We might learn a little bit more of what the sacrifice might be for us if we're called on for that. Continue to bless your words and go forth in services. Someday, especially, be with each of the churches here in our work that you watch over them and many stand behind your pulpit and say, my preacher word boldly. We thank you for your love and mercy. Again, ask your blessings on the classes tonight. We thank you for your love and mercy and we pray for forgiveness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Of course,
I'm trying to wrap up my glasses. Sorry. All right, here we go. So, I handed out that outline that we're going to be going over. We're using tonight. I hope everybody got it. I never know how many copies to make. And then, you know, I just feel like it's, I know I use different books and I make references. I can sit here and spout out a bunch of information, but if you have it in front of you and you can read it, you can see it. In my opinion, you see it, you read it. You make little notes, you'll be able to go back and find that information in case you ever want to. So that's why I keep making references to the other books, et cetera. So last couple times in classes, we've looked at, if you have your old outlines, the Apostolic Fathers. We took some time. We looked at these individuals and we had a handout that I handed to everybody. It's just some notes on there. Of course, you probably have your notes from last year. Ignatius and Polycarp, I hope, are two names that you, when you hear the name Polycarp and Ignatius, you at least remember one thing about these guys. All right. They're not in the Holy Bible. They're not in the scriptures, but they are in history. And they have connection, of course, to the scriptures and some of the apostles themselves. So anyway, we did look at those. Then we went on and we looked at the early church fathers. And remember, these are titles that these folks were given. And it's not like they joined a club or anything. It's just they were referred to as the early church fathers. And these are the guys that wrote on your handout there. You can see they wrote during the time of those three serious errors that started to sneak and creep into the Lord's New Testament churches. So just without looking at notes, does anybody remember the three errors? We went over in the Trail of Blood three times. Anybody want to try it? Infant baptism, yes, that started happening. Good. Anybody else? What does that mean?
Salvation by baptism.
Okay. It started happening, didn't it? Does that happen today? Oh, boy. Also, infant baptism, baptismal regeneration. There was one more. Big church ruling over little church, pastor rule. And that, in last class, we actually looked at that a little bit more in depth, didn't we? And as we go forward, thus the Trail of Blood books I wanted to get out, as we get into the false churches, starting with the first false church that has a name anyway, definitely big pastor, little churches, little, and the big pastor in the Rome made an agreement with a fellow citizen of Rome, and we'll get to that. Probably starting tomorrow. All right. Then, of course, we talked about the 251 AD. Somebody else, 251 AD, talked about that. What happened there? Okay, there was some persecution done by some of the emperors. We talked about that, right? Okay. And when you say split from who?
Some more church teachers. Not Catholics yet, but
there you go.
Pre-Catholic.
Thank you.
And then the rest went into the church. I think it's the Church on the Hill, North Churchill Church.
Right. The bottom line is some of our forefathers got tired of the compromise and got tired and et cetera, et cetera. And they just said, no, there's a difference. And official separation. We'll continue to talk about that. Okay. Now, on the handout that I just handed out there, good. Last year I didn't go over origin. And got thinking about it. If you have Stringer, turn to page 33, if you would, please. You know, he's referred to as one of these early church fathers. Let's be very clear right off the front, atop here. He is not a Baptist. Not a Baptist. Okay, but I got thinking a little bit. I don't know why I didn't cover him, at least mention him last year, but let's just say that. Any one of those so-called Bibles can trace their lineage, if you want to use that term, trace it back to Origen in his writings. So yes, that's a name we need to be aware of. Okay? A name aware of. So here we go. Page 33. Brother Reagan, it looks like you have a book right there. The top paragraph. We're going to read one paragraph. Cyprian Origen. Would you read that paragraph, please?
Yes. Cyprian Origen and Clement originated new traditions in professing Christianity. Their ideas will be discussed in another chapter. It is important to note here that their non-Baptist ideas were viewed as new ideas, and it took a great amount of time for them to be accepted by organized Christian churches. They were never accepted by the majority of independent churches. The scripture was not usually appealed to as the basis for these new teachings. They were supposed to have their foundation in logic, Greek philosophy, or common practice. The fact that such new ideas had trouble gaining acceptance shows that Christians were used to resting on the authority of the Word of God.
Okay, thank you. So that paragraph is a great paragraph to point out that the true brethren there, they didn't need to have these other writings. They were basing the doctrines off the scriptures, etc. But the new ideas or the new traditions, when they're presented, when they're put out there, here's the deal. Somebody gets a hold of them later on. All right? And on a piece of paper that I handed you, we'll get to this here, but Origen, and I am no way defending him, by no means. He had so many. I'm actually going to read some of the stuff, his thinking. Does anybody take sleeping pills? Don't have to answer that. I tell you what, you want to go to sleep, read some of this stuff in Moshe. I tell you what, it's just like, whoa. And I'm waking up, I'm drilling on the page. Oh, Brother Rogers, let me use this book. I got to wipe it off. Anyway, wow. But I am going to read a couple of things. I don't want you to have an idea where his his ideas and where he went came from. And not that he, Moshe says, not that he said they were facts. He was just throwing some of them out there. Well, his disciples, and the guy down below there is at Eusebius, his disciples took much of his writings and his teachings, and 100 years down the road, 200 years, they were presenting them as facts. Go ahead.
The same thing, Darwin.
He throws it out. Go ahead.
And then later on, his disciples or students took that, and that's why he got the message out today.
Yeah. So, Origen, you know, he's been part of Baptist history, if you really think about it, Brother Doug, for the last 1,700 years. And he's been dead and gone forever. But his writings and teachings are still being grabbed a hold of in Protestant world, let alone Catholicism. Do you have him?
Well, not so important, but interesting. The way you brought it up is I'm not always familiar with that and hear that, so I'm calling the first Catholic.
That,
150 years before Catholicism.
Everybody hear that? 150 yes. years.
And I want to address a little bit more. I like the answer you gave to Jared over there about whether he was a Baptist or not. There really were no other than scriptural churches, but in Africa, he was with that school there in Alexandria that there were churches. And so whether he was, he never seems to be clear with doctrine, but he runs with and he is there even before. There's a lot of other Protestants and a lot of others that get out. He's learned and he knows. He's doing what he can to be important and influential in the school there at Alexandria and within Christianity. But even before the second century is over, he's already departing from and coming up with all kinds of new doctrines. And I think he's so important because he's one of the first ones that did that.
He wrote a lot, at least 2,000 books. Some of his friends say it closer to 5 or 6. I don't. He wrote a lot. You ever heard somebody say sort of got full of themselves, stuck on themselves a little bit with their great education? He was a master teacher in the School of Alexandria. He debated. He had people, okay? He wrote a lot. Matter of fact, for a long time, pretty much hated by most of Christianity. But it's interesting. As Mosheim's words, and I'm not going to really read this page, start off, debated, one of the most debated guys in the first 1,400 years, his writings and his philosophies. But then, in the latter years, according to Mosheim, he's become a saint to the Catholic Church. Seriously, so just think about that for a second. All right, Brother Jared, was he a Baptist? You know what? He was around some. But when I start reading a couple of these things, your eyebrows are going to pop up. You're going to go, holy cow, that's not one of my forefathers. Okay?
Right.
I say this all the time. Jesus Christ will do the judging. But when you put stuff down in words, again, but he's had a direct impact on religious churches, all other churches. And ready for this? These other perversions of the Bible. He's had a direct impact. His writings. His rewriting of God's Bible. But God didn't mean it quite that way, and he improved it. That right there is a red flag. All right? All right, so here we go. I'm going to share some of this here. Mosheim, I got my cheat here. How do you say it? Origen, to whom the church, remember the church reference here is the Catholic Church, okay? Down to the times of Constantine, continue no greater man, this according to Mosheim, of his life, his virtues, his faults, his opinions, and his errors, enough to have been debated and written by Christians during almost 14 centuries to fill a volume of no small size. So this guy was on, people were aware of him. All right. So first thing I want to share with you is, he threw some stuff out there, again, like his disciples, they took it. But here's his thoughts on creation, all right? See if I want to skip that page. Let me skip that. Here's his thoughts on creation. Ready? This is a guy supposedly that is well-learned and can read the Bible, taught in the school. All right. Origen's philosophy, which is regarded as true, as recognized by all philosophers, was Ammonian, or the new Platonic, though slightly modified, that it might not conflict with Christian principles, with which it stood in the closest alliance. Of this philosophy, Mosheim's going to give a brief summary. Here's the creation philosophy. All things that exist, whether corporal or void, of gross matter, emanated eternally from God, or came from God, right? Have I got that? Came from God, the source of all things. This first principle of the new Platonic school derived from the Egyptian wisdom. He was an Egyptian, as we have elsewhere shown, on the basis or foundation of Origen's philosophy. All right? But the Christian scriptures reject this doctrine, taken in the sense of which the Platonists understood it. For the Platonists believed the world to be without beginning and without end, or to have flowed forth from God eternally, and to be destined to continue forever. The Christian Bible, on the contrary, clearly teaches that the world was created at a certain time, and that at a certain time it will perish. Origen, therefore, thought it necessary to modify this doctrine and to adjust it to the instructions of Christianity. So he introduced the idea of a perpetual succession of the worlds, innumerable worlds similar to this existed and perished before the present world was produced. And after this world shall end, innumerable others will exist in endless succession. So he helped explain and make things better on the creation. Okay, that's good. Souls. Speaking of souls, ready? You'll like this one. Souls are like all finite things, emanated from the divine nature. Long before the world, material world was formed, and they were originally all equal in their nature and moral excellence in rank. Okay? All souls, moreover, possess free will and equal power to do good or to do ill, or are able to freely to do the one or the other. Okay, some of the souls, while in their celestial state before this world was created, used their free will wisely and properly, but others abused it in different ways, some more grievously and others more lightly. Therefore, divine justice demanded that the souls which had misused their liberty should undergo some punishment. And hence came the present world and the race of men. For God decreed that the sinning souls should be clothed in grosser bodies. You guys' bodies are gross, by the way. So that they might suffer in them the penalties of their temerity. I'm not sure what that is. Okay. And as there was great diversity of the offenses committed by them, it became necessary for God to create bodies of different kinds of natures, so they might assign to each a body suited to the magnitude and enormity of the sins which defiled it. Some souls were therefore lodged in more splendid bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars. For it was the belief of Origen that all the stars have souls. Others were doomed to inhabit human bodies. All right.
Fruits of Mormonism.
And then others, the demons, for example, were attached to bodies more tenuous indeed than ours, but extremely ugly. And sometimes I fall asleep. Anyway, that's his idea of souls, right? So the sun, the star, the moon, they have souls. They were some good souls before us, but some of us are in the, we sin too much in previous life, whatever. So now we're taking on the human body. Go ahead.
So some people call him the, like, the first Catholic. Do other religions claim him? Because he's kind of going all over the place with his beliefs here.
Well, it's pagan philosophy. I tell you, like I said, my understanding, I read some more, that the Catholics have, Brother Jacob, your book, they're recognizing some of his stuff because you know what? He's the first one to introduce purgatory.
Yep.
Okay. And he sort of talked about infant baptism long when it was not popular. Okay. And so, yeah, he's a champion now. I think he's been made a saint. I'm not for sure on that. I think that might be tongue in cheek. Yeah. But evidently, the Protestants make reference to some of his writings too. When the writings fit your doctrines, you like the guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Brother Jacob, go ahead. So here's the worst one. Well, can there be worse? Sister Rhonda, go ahead.
Last year, that, you know, in these early times, you were discussing how that there was Christianity,
mm-hmm.
the Lord's churches.
This is what it was.
Teaching and preaching of the scriptures, and there were paganism. So somebody briefly mentioned something about paganism. That's what he's teaching. He's trying to blend it together, which is what religion is.
It is. It is. He got too smart. Look at his years. When did he die? 254.
Yeah.
All right. My understanding, quote unquote, and you're gonna box, he died a martyr's death. And longer, farther away from it, he's because he recovered from his injuries and whatever during the Decian persecution. Jeez, I shouldn't do this. Decius, Trajanus, yeah. He survived. They found him in the bottom of, I think, of a dungeon. He survived for a couple of years. But then when he died, and there's all these writings, and the next thing you know, we're seeing the one church, one group of people split, right? We're seeing, next thing you know, he wasn't that bad of a guy. He's one of the heroes, and he sort of grows a little bit, right? And then get down the road a thousand years or so, he really, like you said, they see something that's written, and they say, yeah, that's good. And they quote him. They quote him. Here's the one that's terrible. Has to improve on God's word, talking about the deity of Christ, okay? So, go back to church camp this year. Who is Jesus Christ, right? Well, if you don't realize that he is God, I'm asking, how can someone get saved?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see how. I don't see how. And I think the Bible is very clear on that. Here you go. This is the last of his Mosheim's writing on origin that I'm going to read. Here we go. In the first place, he supposed that all the declarations of the scriptures respecting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit might be easily reconciled with his philosophy. So he's here to help out. For believing that all things eternally, I'm saying the word wrong, somebody can correct me,
emanated,
thank you. What does that mean? Originate from, right? Be produced by, that all things eternally emanated from the divine nature, he attributed to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as the highest rank among these emanations from the divine nature. Everybody catch that? So the greatest of the creations that God produced was?
Jesus.
Holy Spirit. According to Origen, this is what Mosheim. Did you have a hand?
Place Jesus just like us, except we sin.
Okay.
Or this idea that we are, you just made a couple of mistakes. So foolish.
Who a while ago made reference to another religious denomination with the Mormons? I'm asking Jehovah's Witness. I'm asking. Do you see how Origen's writings are influencing this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Orkin wrote it, Saint Origen, go ahead.
And for lack of
the better explanation, superstar status, celebrity status, origin, kind of crazy. His name is Origin. He didn't come up with that.
Yeah.
He was pulling off the pagan stuff before.
Pagan.
And he's just given his spin, and evidently some master teacher at a well-known university is going to get a lot of play. And he writes books, and everybody loves
writes books. Well, yeah. Educated. Yeah, how
so
can
he
be
has to be I'm just like, a... right next to God, a level of intellect. If he writes this many books, he's a master at Alexandria. He understands Egyptian paganism. So
yeah.
This guy is the next link to God. You got to listen to
him. I'm going
to
help you understand this. Ready? He always and uniformly compares the origination from the Father with the efflux of the solar rays of the sun, and teaches that these solar rays, although of the same nature with the sun from which they flow, are yet only minute particles of the solar light and heat issuing from the immense mass, and that they sustain the same relation to their source as small streams issuing from great lakes sustain in those lakes. The opinion, therefore, the Father is the prime cause of all things, and the Son is the secondary cause, and as it were, the instrument by which the Father created the world. Now, Origen does find greater difficulty when he attempts to reconcile with his philosophy what the scriptures teach respecting the unions of two natures in Christ. For he thought it utterly impossible that God, a being entirely separate from matter, should ever assume a body or be willing to associate himself with matter. And yet, Jesus, Pharisee, God in the flesh, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, but look, I mean, I'm totally in, you know, Louisville Slugger, this guy bashing around, but he's human. And there's no doubt that I'll go down that road if I don't have the faith in the scriptures and just an unequivocal blind faith that thus saith the Lord and take it as it is. Because that's the problem that we have whenever we're talking to other folks from religion. We're trying to convince them, because Landmark Missionary Baptist from the very beginning, it was the Word of God is our rock, it's our stand, it's our sole authority, and we refuse to include our philosophies, our opinions, our ideas, how we perceive things. We just look to the scripture. What did God say?
Yeah.
So this is not a shock, but it's what we do today.
It's happening everywhere today. All right, it's happening everywhere, because you get thinking that I got a little bit of knowledge, I understand a little bit of this, and I try to throw my two cents in. They say, no, we've gone away from God's teaching, and we're putting our twist. All right, so with that being said, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 23. So we can read about some of his stuff, because he wrote a lot of stuff down. There's a lot of people that's taught a lot of things that they haven't written it down. I mean, just think about over the years, right? And I just think about people that catch a hold of some of these philosophies or some of these teachings from, whether it may be in the Southern Baptists in the 1800s. It doesn't really matter, but you get a hold of it, and it takes you away from God's word, or it leads people away, or maybe the second generation. You know, they're going to stand in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stand in judgment here. And I read, think about here, Matthew chapter 23. It's right here. Brother Austin, are you there? Would you read just, we know these scriptures, 13, 14, and 15. Just go ahead and read these, please, about the Pharisees and stuff. Yeah.
But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up kingdom of heaven against men, but you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you down, nor entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself.
All right, so I just grabbed a couple of scriptures here. I mean, we don't, and I'm sitting here thinking about the writings of these men, or, you know, whether it's Origen or whoever it is, okay? Or as we get further along, some of the guys that take and they stand up against the Roman Catholic Church, the next thing you know, they have their own writings and their own ideas. And I go back to this. I wasn't here very long, and I heard my pastor say one time from the pulpit, I'd rather my kids be raised in a bar or a tavern than in religion. And I just thought about a bar, a tavern. I just thought, oh my goodness. You know, I didn't necessarily disagree, but I just never really heard it said quite like that before. And you know, the more you study and learn about religion, that's exactly 100% right. All right. I'm going to take it another step, because I've heard this said. Well, I know it's not the King James, but at least they're reading the Bible. Well, when I go ahead, say it again.
If it's not the King James, it's
okay. So now I heard that. I'm thinking, well, I guess to find a scripture talks about stuff. Well, then as you start looking at these other perversions of the Bible, Brother Josh just said it, and you start looking at where these things came from and the people behind and their writings and how they took and the motive and all that kind of stuff, you're sitting there going, no, you don't want them reading that. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. You let them read a magazine of something, whatever. You know, it doesn't do any good. And so has Satan done his job with these false perversions and these false churches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, go back to the Trail of Blood, you start looking at all those, and we're going to actually get into some of this, and boom, boom, boom. But it started before. It started back when they were either Judaism, Christianity, true, some churches maybe practicing some error. Okay, some got corrected, maybe some didn't get corrected. It all laid the groundwork for, we're going to get to it, Constantine in 313 AD, and the next couple hundred years as the Roman Catholic, the Catholic Church was molded and developed. Did you have a hand? Go ahead.
That statement, you know, what you're talking about right there, it is truly surprising how many Baptists, scriptural New Testament church members, are very religious and influenced by religion because of that right there.
Oh, we are, yes.
And it's, you see it as you begin, you know, you're really teaching, and it's weird things. Well, at least they're going to church. At least they're praying. At least they're, you know, reading something. At least they watch the YouTube videos about. At least they're listening to Christian music. Wow, that is.
No.
And you see it in the teaching. When you start getting some of the doctrines, people are like, well, are you sure about that?
All right, everybody here. Good, good. Did you have something, Brother Doug?
Yeah, in the, just two things when you outline, and you haven't even got to insidious yet. The main thing that they were denying or changing, or was their doctrinal error when you look at this, was the deity of Christ. They were denying that. And I mean,
yes,
we don't recognize it that way. A lot of historians don't say it, but if Jesus was the creation of God, and if they refuse to accept that Jesus is equal with God, they're denying his deity.
Everybody has this outline, right, that I hand out here. So Brother Doug's making a reference to Eusebius, who was a disciple of Origen, loved his writings, loved it, expanded on it, took off with it.
Second, third century, denominationalism comes about. But that's why this becomes so important, because we think that Bible rewriting is something fairly recent and common in our modern world. But if Origen was doing that, Origen was doing that in the first century, from the very beginnings, he was already denying and altering and changing. I mean, we look at today what the problems are with the other English versions. What were they in the first century, even before denominational? That was the basis of not only Catholicism, like you're talking about, but his writings and being even recognized as a what's he called, a church father? Not a Baptist, but because he was involved in debating and using and trying to backhandedly promote Christianity in the Bible, he was a lot more influential than a lot of people realize.
A lot of it.
All right. So I'm sitting here. Thank you. So I'm sitting here looking at this outline. If you're not aware of this, boy, the use of this or whatever, that second guy there. I read in the book that Brother Jacob gave me that he was called Constantine's lapdog. It was pretty good. I loved it. So whatever Constantine wanted, and he got it done. And this is the one that said he wanted 50 Bibles. You know where this is going, right? So he goes down to the school of Alexandria and he gets 50 Bibles. Some of the rewritten Bibles then tweaked them themselves. What Origen did it himself. And there you go. That's what starts it. That's the domino effect. All right. Two of those copies have fully been found. And I wrote it down there for you. The Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus, whatever. You know, they're locked away in key. We can't go see them, or I can't anyway. I'm not of that prestige. But anyway, two of those 50 Bibles right there. And, of course, you know, Jerome, they call him St. Jerome. He the Latin Vulgate, right? So we can go, maybe you've heard of Wycliffe's. People heard of the Wycliffe's, right? You've heard of this before, and the Catholic Bible a Day. But like I said, I mentioned those other books, the Let's Weigh the Evidence, the Things That Are Different, Not the Same. There's like four of them now. I was looking at all of them, you know, and these writings, these Bibles, these 50 Bibles, and the two that are left over, you got the guys by name Westcott and Wart in the late 1800s. You've heard of these names, you know. I think they're from Cambridge University. I think it was Cambridge, if I remember right. You know, they did their own Greek texts. I think it was called the Revised Version in 1881, 1885. And the American Standard, you've heard of this, right? These Bibles, this NIV, this all this stuff that we have today, they came from that, as that one book says, the polluted stream. Go ahead. I didn't see your hand there.
Basically the Catholic Bible or the basis of the Catholic.
I think Vulgate, does that mean common? Am I right with that? Someone help me with that. Common, is all right. Well, that was very irritating to the priest and stuff because they didn't want the people to have a Bible, of course, you know. So yes. I think the Latin Vulgate, they took the if I get this wrong, someone, Brother Roger, correct me if I get this wrong, Brother Mike. I think Origen took, help me with Septuagint. Help me with that. That is the Hebrew translated to Greek. Am I right with that? It is Greek. Right? All right. And so then I believe that's the Bible then that Jerome took and did his translations with. I think I'm right with that. I can look on that for sure. I haven't written it down, but anyway, the bottom line is, God didn't need that. I mean, we had it. And, you know, and nothing good comes from it. Satan has the victory every time on those. So, yes, if you hear a King James Version preached, well, there's a reason for it, because that is what God has given us today to use. That's what we've had for a couple of, 400 and some years or so, right? Stick to it. Read it, study it, understand it. Okay? Think the Holy Spirit's going to help us. I always say this to people, which copy's in heaven? Which copies in heaven? All right. Lord didn't need Origen's help to explain what he was trying to say, that's for sure. Yeah, let's stand. Brother Cooper's coming up.